have to edit that out now. Okay, so last week, what did we talk about? The things about Jesus. Okay. Jehovah's Witnesses and goats. G-O-S-P-E-L. What does that spell? So what do we talk about it? How to share it. All right, so the that was essentially the beginning of a series that I'm calling Salt and Light. Now, if you've been in church at any point in time in your life, you've probably heard these terms before. So, somebody tell me, what was Jesus' mission? Sarah knows? What is it, Sarah? No, not Sarah. Jesus. All right, Jesus was here to spread the news of God and to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. I can go for that. Somebody grab Luke 19. Sarah, this is not a group conversation activity yet.
Wait, what
is it? Luke 19. 19. Oh, there we go. Okay. Verse 10, yeah, Alex, what's up? Not quite, we'll get there. Go ahead, Sarah, read it. So, what was Jesus' mission? Okay, so we got that down. So, y'all like to watch TV, right? No. All right, Netflix, that's good. Same thing, it's TV shows. See, Emily and I don't like actually have real TV because our antenna for some reason will never work. I think I've bought 5 of them and they don't work. So we have Netflix and Hulu. And one of the shows that for some reason we enjoy watching, I still don't totally know why other than to watch them people get made fun of, is MasterChef. All right, so seriously, for like an entire season, they used to say this phrase all the time, and Emily and I just sat there looking at each other and goes, what does that mean? It needs more acidity. I was like, what is that? See, and I found that that's basically what it is. It's like this citric acid kind of thing. It needs like a lemon or some lime or something. But literally, for like a whole season, we were like, what is acidity? Like, never have I been like, I'm going to bite down in this hammer. I think that needs more acidity. Okay, I'm not a true master chef lover, but here's the deal. So we were watching this episode a couple weeks back, and this girl is making this dish. In the process of making this dish, she's like losing her mind. Literally, it was one of these people that legitimately just do not work well under pressure. I'm sure if you said like, hey, I need you to make me some mashed potatoes in 4 hours, she'd be good. But when they said you've got 45 minutes to make this dish, she was like, so for real, she brings up her dish and she sets it down. And I think it was potatoes? I think I forgot what it is. No, but I think it was potatoes. No, it was eggs. They had to make scrambled eggs. I remember that. Her eggs were gray. So for real, like Gordon's standing there and he's like, those don't look light and fluffy. So what happened? She's like, I think I overdid it on the pepper. Like, literally overdid to the point that it turned the eggs gray. So one of the other phrases that we hear all the time on MasterChef is what?
Salt.
Needs more salt. Why? Salt creates flavor. You can take almost anything that tastes bad and put salt on it. I learned this at an early age. Yeah, but that doesn't look as, like, if somebody makes you a steak and you, like, bite into it, and you're like, oh, I need some ranch, like, that could offend them. But if you're like, you know what, I need a little salt, won't ever offend them. I learned this. No, you put barbecue sauce on a steak in my house and you'll end up in the street. Okay. But either way, I learned this at an early age because my mom used to cook things that I just hated. And she's like, I'm not cooking another meal. So if you want to eat, there it is. So I'm like, with the salt, like, for real, she'd be like, green beans, and they'd be white. So, salt's purpose is to improve flavor. Okay, that's what it does. So go to Matthew 5. Matthew, Ivy, I meant in the Bible, not like actually go there. Okay, children.
Just like in children's church.
All right, so Matthew 5. 13 to 16. So, we're the salt of the earth. What does that mean? Not exactly what I was looking for, but I guess we can go there. It's our job to make people's life better. Salt makes things taste better. It's our job to make people's life better. So, are you in your daily life making people's lives better or worse? Do you really think so? Would they agree to the same thing? Like, if we could bring your friends in here and, like, put you on one side of the wall where they didn't see and ask them the question, would they say, yeah, she makes our lives better? Or, no, she kind of makes them worse? You think you're in the middle? Okay. So do we need to, like, lean one direction instead of the other? Okay, so again, we're supposed to be salt. Salt makes everything taste better. You can make a difference. That's what you've been called to do. Say that. I can make a difference. Okay, that was about three of you. One more time.
I can make a difference.
Okay, we got five. One more time. Do we need to try everybody except Sarah? No. Okay. Wow. Anyway, here's the key. You've got to be paying attention in order to be able to make a difference. If you're walking around with your head down, not paying attention to what's going on, then you're never going to know when that opportunity presents itself. Okay? Go to 2 Kings 2. It is in the Bible, yes. 2.
Word. I was there first. Suck it.
No. No. No.
I win.
No. Second Kings 2. It's on 350. Oh. That would have been funny. All right. So, starting in verse 19, it says, "One day the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. 'We have a problem, my lord,' they told him. 'This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see, but the water's bad and the land is unproductive.' Elisha said, 'Bring me a new bowl with salt in it.' So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water and threw the salt into it. And he said, 'This is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility.' And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elisha said." Okay, so what'd they say about the land? No. What'd they say about the land? Or the town, I guess. The town. Sorry. What'd they say about the town, not the land? It's in pleasant surroundings. But what's the problem? The water's bad. Okay? So, what'd he have him do? Okay, so he brought him a brand new bowl with salt in it. He threw the salt into the little well thing. Okay? Did the salt change it? Yeah, it purified it. So did it have anything to do with the surroundings of the town? No, it didn't like decide, you know what, it's good surroundings, it doesn't matter, this doesn't need to be fixed. Just like us, it has nothing to do with our circumstances. We're not called to be a light or be salt into the world when things are going good for us. It's just a blanket statement, period. You're to be the light of the world. You're to be the salt of the world, period. It's not based on our circumstances. So, what is our general excuse for not being salt? We don't have enough time. We don't want to. We're going to get bullied. Okay. I love the time one. So, what does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Flavor it. Purify it. Okay? So, think back to last week. What does salt have to do with last week? Okay? We're supposed to spread the gospel. So, how do you not have time to do that? Like, how many thousands of people do you guys interact with every single day? You're right, Ivy. You don't leave your house very often. Now, tell me how many people you're following on Instagram. So 300 on Instagram. What about Snapchat?
We don't know.
A few thousand. No, it tells you on your profile, just like that. So, how many? Let me ask my question again. How many thousands of people do you interact with every day? So you're following people you don't like. I think my brain just exploded. I've seriously been given insight into the world of a teenage girl, and I don't like it. Okay. Either way, here's the deal. Like I said, we get the opportunity to interact with more people than we've ever interacted with before. And yet somehow we don't have the time to share the gospel. Okay, I'll give you an example. A few months back, I put a post on Instagram. I said, hey, take a picture of what you're reading, what you're studying, and let us know what God's speaking to you. Put it on Instagram. Okay, cool. Two people did it. So, one person sent it to me in a message. And I said, why don't you just post it on your profile? Are you ashamed of the fact that this might be what you're doing? Do you not want the people that are following you to see the Bible on your profile? That's such a simple and easy way to go about sharing the gospel, about being light, salt to the world, without having to do like any work. No, they wouldn't do it. Yeah, two people posted it, and one person sent it to me in a message. They refused to put it on their profile. If you were following us on Instagram, you would have seen it. You didn't see it. Okay. So, the other part is we have to begin to see ourselves differently. Okay? What did Elisha need in order to purify the water? And? Nope. Guys, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's in the book. A new bowl. We've got to begin to see ourselves differently, okay? What's the story of the gospel? What is the story of the gospel? Jesus loves you, died on the cross, purified your sins. What does that mean? It means you're a new creation. You are a new bowl. You've got to begin to see yourself differently. We go in, we have this cute little experience, we go cry at the altar and boo-hoo-hoo. We get saved, and then we continue to think about ourselves exactly the same way we did before. I'm still short, I'm still fat, I'm still ugly, I'm still mistreated, whatever. And we don't realize that what God did for us is way bigger and more powerful than all that stuff. And Satan's biggest weapon for us is the lies of self-image. If he can get us to believe that we're worthless, then we're not going to go talk about it. We're not going to want to interact. If you're more worried about what the people around you think about you, then you're worried about getting bullied if you share the gospel. If you realize who you are in Christ and you don't care what those people think about you, it doesn't matter. Oh, you don't like me? Sweet. That's cool. Oh, you think I'm goofy because I wear a church shirt to school? Okay. But that's where we've got to get to. We've got to see ourselves through the eyes of Jesus, or we're never going to do any of this. It's never going to matter. We're never going to make a difference. We're never going to be salt. We're never going to impact our world. So, God's going to continue to do things. We just have to start. We've got to make that first step, and he'll continue to do the work. But if we sit there and do nothing, what is there for him to continue? I mean, it's not like Jesus is walking around trying to save people anymore. He's given us the unbelievable ability to be a part of this mission. And yet we take that for such granted and go on about our own business and don't care, don't pay attention to anything he's doing anywhere, and would rather post about whatever. Yeah, what you want to do than the things that God has. I mean, what do you think would happen if, you know, you did something so small as like posted a Bible verse every day, and as people were scrolling through things, maybe they're in a really bad mood and they saw that and it brightened their day. Maybe they start coming back to your profile like every day to look for that verse, to look for that ray of hope and sunshine. At some point, you're going to get the opportunity to tell them, man, there's more to it than this. It's not just random words that sound cute. I promise that's got way more impact than taking a picture of your shoes and saying, I'm bored. So God's called us to go and do something, not just to sit around. Go to Luke 14. Verse 21. So here's what's going on. Jesus is talking about this massive feast that's going on. And he eventually tells his servant to go out into the streets and go get everybody. There you go. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. It goes down to verse 22. It says, after the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedge and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. There's a massive banquet going on. And the house isn't full. And so instead of letting all the food go to waste and whatever, the master says, just go get anybody. Go find everybody, including the crippled, the blind, the lame. Go get them all. So here's the deal. Just like in this story, we live on that street. That was us at one point. And somebody took the opportunity to come and go, hey, I know you're blind, I know you're crippled, I know you're lame, but there's a massive feast that Jesus is putting on. And he wants you to come to his table. So you get to make your way to the table and you go sit down and you eat. And the next thing that happens is you look down and there's still food everywhere. And so you get the option to either just walk off and do nothing, or to go back into the street where you came from, go back into the world that you came from, and tell all the people you know about the banquet. And it's up to us. We can either be selfish about it, or we can go tell everybody around us. But see, I can't believe that if we truly 100% love God, that we're okay watching the people around us starve and die for the gospel while we have the answer and we do nothing. I just can't see that. I mean, there's no way that if Derek was sitting at the table just eating his fill and Ivy was over here in the side of the room, that he would just let her starve. Like, there's no way he would let that happen. But yeah, we do that every single day as we walk past people or communicate with people on social media or text message or whatever. We know They're dying. We know we have the answer. And we say, you know what? It's good. You do you. So what was Jesus' mission? What was Jesus' mission? To seek and save those who are lost. Who are we? So what does that mean? The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. As little Christ, we should be looking for the same thing. And like I said, we've got to be paying attention. We have to be looking for it. Okay? He came to seek it. That doesn't mean waiting for it to come to him. He went out looking for it. What was Jesus doing when he found the disciples? Walking down the road. He wasn't sitting at home. The gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. And that's our mission, is to make that go, not to hold it. I mean, like I said, think about it. Christmas shows up, birthday shows up, you get the most unbelievable gift ever. The first thing you do is go post on social media, tell everybody that you can, run around the house screaming, super excited. Yet we get the greatest gift in the history of the world, and we choose to sit and be silent about it. I think something's wrong there. Like, are we really going to be more excited about a new pair of shoes, a new phone, I don't know what else you got, video game, 21 Pilots, CD, whatever, money, than we are about the fact that we got the everlasting gift of the gospel? And are we going to keep quiet about it? So like I said last week, I get it. This is not the most comfortable thing in the world to do. Like, showing up and being like, hey, best friend, let me tell you about Jesus. And they're like, Jesus, like, hey, don't you cuss and spit and lie and steal and cheat. And you're like, oh, crap. So part of that is your story. Part of that's your testimony. And part of that just takes some training to explain, to understand how to explain that. But again, that takes training. And we're going to work on some of that. That's why I gave you that piece of paper with gospel spelled out. You memorize that process, it makes this easier. Let me make it substantially easier for you, okay? You have to do no work. Bring them on Saturday. It's that simple. It's a free concert that the gospel will be shared. It's hip-hop music. It's not like they're singing old hymns. Okay, there will be no hymns. I promise. Okay? There's going to be crazy light shows. It's going to be just like other concerts. It's free. And the gospel is going to be shared. And you don't have to do it. So again, are you going to take Thursday, Friday, and the beginning of Saturday as you interact with thousands of people? Are you going to take the opportunity to be salt to those people and at least open the door? Hey, concert going on, you gotta come, it's gonna be awesome. You have to tell them, hey, the gospel's gonna be presented, you should come. Don't worry about that. Hey, concert, 4 rap artists, come show up. Are you going to take the opportunity to tell those people, or are you going to keep quiet about it? Like, we make it easy. We provide the flyers. We provide all the stuff to say. You share it on social media, put it on Snapchat, Facebook, everywhere. You want flyers, we've got those. Whatever. But what are you going to do over the next 3 days to be salt of the earth? This is just step one of the process. Again, we've been called to do this for a lifetime. Like I said, I get it. It's not comfortable. Like, here's what's funny, though. If I took all of y'all and I said, hey, here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to Brazil. And we're going to share the gospel with people down there. Y'all'd be all over that. Like, you'd be talking through the streets like crazy. Because you know what? If these people hate me, it's no big deal. I'm never coming back here. But if I tell you, hey, I want you to go to Halton Middle School and share the gospel with everybody there, I wish I could have taken a picture of Ivy's face and put it on the screen. It was this. Oh, hell no. People will make fun of me. People will laugh at me. People will beat me up. People will ignore me. People will bully me. But again, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, if you've read any more of this book, but they did all of that to Jesus and then some. They made fun of him. They beat him up. They spit on him. They tore his skin off. They spat on him. They threw him in the dirt. And then they killed him. And you're worried about somebody making fun of you for being a Christian. And that's what's weird. See, when I said, Ivy, we're going to go to Brazil and we're going to share the gospel down there, she kind of gave me this, really, look? When I said, we're going to Halton Middle, it was, no way. No way. Yet that should be the easiest process. With random people in Brazil, you got to figure out, like, how to start that conversation. Like, oh, you're right, walk up. You love Jesus? They'd be like, But with your friends, how simple is it? I'm having the worst day. My boyfriend just broke up with me. I mean, there you go. Jesus could be your sugar daddy. Anyway. All right, before we get super crazy, I'm going to go ahead and finish. But like I said, we've got the next 3 days. We have a simple, easy opportunity to share the gospel with people, and you don't have to do anything hard. Bring them to a concert. Everybody likes concerts. All you gotta do is bring them. Here's what I'm going to promise you. It's only going to get harder from here. Yes. So, you got the easy option now. It's only going to get more difficult from here. Okay? So, without the crazy guilt trip that I just put on you, realistically, like, who's actually planning to come to the concert? I'm not talking about bringing friends or anything. Just who's actually, like, planning on coming right now? Oh, okay. Just because there's food. Oh, okay. Well, we're glad your belly will be full. We'll worry about your soul later. So no Billy, no Tristan, no Vincent, no Kristen, no Ivy. You don't know. Oh. Okay. There's not nobody coming. There's going to be a bunch of people there. Okay. All right, like I said, you get an opportunity to do it without doing any work. So, go be salt.